number of years ago, I had this chus to learn the sugya of Breir's Bezdin. We were learning Sim Yudalad at that time with the Goyim of Eliyahu Levin, Mishkel of Chayshkel Chashemishpat in Lakewood. And at that time, we were learning in the afternoon the sugya. It was very shmack. I was also giving a shir in the morning for Bachrim that were working part-time, learning part-time, more working than learning, but after Shachos we would say a Dvar Halacha. And so one morning I was sitting and eating breakfast there with my friend Reb Shlomo, one of the boys there, and he asked me, "Rabbi, what do you do?" So I told him a little bit, dying at the base of that, but for the most part, I sit and learn. So he said, "Well, what do you mean you sit and learn? You know everything already, no?" So I tried to explain to him that it's not true. I know more than you maybe, but it's really like 3,000 years worth of information. That's, you know, I have a lot to learn. But that answer that it wasn't a sufficient answer for him. So I told him, that you should know that right now in the afternoon I'm learning with a Yid who's maybe close to 70. And I know that he wrote a kuntras on this topic around 30 years before. He wrote a whole chibur about the sugya that we're learning about halacha ha-mitvah and all the different reasons and all the different shidas in the Rishayim. He wrote a chibur on this. And right now we're learning it mamish bi'iyun, as if like, so if you have a question about somebody, like why he's sitting and learning, you shouldn't ask this kasha to me. You would ask the kasha to him. It's obviously there's something to do with sitting and learning a sugya. So it was a very interesting sat d'shmayin. This effort is something that is really worthwhile, besides for the shir. That evening, after learning the sugya, sitting and learning with Rabbi Eliyahu, I gave a ride to Ma'ariv. And he walked into the car, and the first thing that was out of his mouth was, "You told me, you should know, really for me, this is the first time I'm learning the sugya. I always thought that Hashem Mishpat starts with Simen Chaf Hei, it's the sugya of Dayan Chetor, maybe a little bit in Simen Chaf Hei also, the Malayava that is. At the beginning I always thought this is She'er Yirokes, and now I see it says Mamish HaSugyas." So, he's learning the sugya the first time. I came back the next day, I told the boy, "I have an answer for you. He's learning the sugya the first time." So, we could learn the sugya the first time, but this year, the objective is to try to give the halacha l'maisa of what happens with choosing a bezdin. But I'll try not to lose the beauty of learning the sugya and learning the sugya for the first time. So it goes like this, and the way there's interesting shaylas that come up. Actually, when we were learning the sugya then, there was an interesting shayla that was being discussed. There was a kahila in Mexico. It happened to be the Sfaradim that had a shechita, and there was a kahila of a Hasidish kahila that came from somewhere else in the United States. And this kehila felt that this Hasidish kehila was infringing on their rights. They felt that they're bringing a Hasidish shechita there, it was a massive gula question. So they wanted to go to our bezdin. Which bezdin you go to? They say, you know, come to our bezdin, and we have a perfectly beautiful Sfaradish bezdin in Mexico. And they say, you know, we have a very nice Hasidish bezdin in Williamsburg. So who would have the right to decide where you should go down? Hey, that's in extreme situations, and obviously it's something that that's above the thing. But typically, what happens? One person says, "Come, I want to come to this bezdin." Another person says, "I want to come to that bezdin." Okay, we have, you learned already. You have to answer the bezdin. You have to go to bezdin. But what's the hierarchy, and where does it end up of the choosing of which? What's the bezdin to go to? Now, the beginning of the sugya, we just start with the halacha and Simen Gimel and Shulchan Aruch. Where it says that any bezdin, ain't bezdin pachas begimel, but kol shloishim bed nikra bezdin, afilu hadyaitis, any three is considered a bezdin. And obviously, the Ramah puts it in there that if somebody is the assumption is that we're talking about is when you have three, there's an assumption of less buchad legomer. But if there's even, we know for sure that there's no chad legomer, if there's for sure not one person that knows the entire, then it's the apostle law. Then somebody that's a Yeshvi Kronos is apostle of din. So there is a minimum qualification. And but again, if it's a bezdin that was appointed, a bezdin even our Kodesh of Asuria, the halacha would follow that you would have to go to there if they were appointed bezdin. But a typical bezdin, any three people, which is three people that are the yanim, they said the hazmar to somebody, the hadyotis, they are considered a bezdin. They danim as ha'adam al karchoi. They could force somebody to come to them, but when could they force somebody to come to them? So the halacha says only if the nitva is misarif din. If he says I'm not going to anything at all, then they could force him to come. But if she'ini roitz aladin matevei biiroi. There's a halacha, which we learn. Koifin, I say, v'don be'iroi. He can't say, I want to go somewhere else. But if he wants the dan, but he doesn't want to go to them, that's perfectly fine. He could say, I don't want to go to you. So what does he do? He does. Oz, the halacha is, ze b'irli echad, v'ze b'irli echad. They go through a process of each one chooses a dayan, and then the dayan themselves will choose out a third dayan, and that process is the highest level of Bezdin. Now the Ramah says over here that it's only Dayan She'en Kavuim. If you have a Dayan Kavuim Be'ir, you have an official established Bezdin, then he cannot have a right to say, I'm going to go to Zebur Le'echa, the Zebur Le'echa, the chosen Bezdin. You have to go to the Bezdin HaKavuim Be'ir. Now this might be Negea some other places in the world. In the United States of America, for sure, and probably even Eretz Yisrael also, it's very hard to say that there's a Bezdin Kavua that's appointed, the Rabbim Himchum Aleim. That idea is something that does not really exist as Zman Hazeh. So, in most places. Now, it might be small places that have a Bezdin Kavua Be'ir. If they have a Bezdin Kavua Be'ir, then you would be required to appear in front of the Bezdin Kavua Be'ir. But the best level is Zebar Le'echad, Zebar Le'echad. And again, this itself, Zebar Le'echad, has to be understood. And this is really the record for this is really the Gemara right in the beginning of Perek Zebar. The Gemara in the beginning starts with a discussion about if you could, how it discusses choosing a Bezdin. And it says, the Gemara asks, why would somebody be able to choose different Bezdin? Somebody already took him to a Bezdin. How could you passel a Bezdin and go to a different Bezdin? So the Gemara first says, our Koyesh of Surya. And then the Gemara says, even that, our Koyesh was even Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, even if they're both great Bati Din, and one Bezdin Rav Huna and one Bezdin Rav Chizda, he could say, I don't want to go in front of one Bezdin, I want to go in front of the other Bezdin, because so even though there's a halacha of koyf and eisay v'dam bi'iroi, he has to be forced to sit in the city. He could switch a bezdin from Rav Huna to Rav Chizda's bezdin. But then the Gemara says that's a different pshat. The Gemara says that the Mishnah's idea is, which is the best level of bezdin, is kishazeh barley dayan echad. The choosing of the way the Bezdin is chosen is that each one will choose a dayan. He'll choose one dayan, he'll choose another dayan, and then Shnei Barim like Oyed Echad. And so the Gemara asks, what's this idea of each one choosing a dayan? The idea is that each one chose his dayan, so therefore the Gemara says, Yetzah Adil Namita. The din goes to the emissary. So why would the din go more to the emes like this? So Rashi says the idea of yetzah din lamita is not so much in the dayanim coming to the emes. It's more an idea the tzaisi balei dinim. The balei dinim will listen because the savar achai harini be'asim yibiyareti. I chose this person, so he feels that the balei dinim feels that person chose me, so he would stick up for me. I chose him, so we feel like a connection here, and he would be mehapech v'sklusi. If it was any kind of thing, any kind of think that any presentation in the halacha that could have been made to my benefit, he would have done it. And then Rashi says another thing, ba'dayanim ba'atzmon, and the dayanim themselves, noicha daitan lahapech b'schus shneim, mipnei sheshneim biruru. It is something here that Rashi says that dayanim would act differently because they were chosen. Because they were chosen, so therefore they're going to be mahapech, they're going to look, they're going to dissect the halacha a little better for the towards the side that chose him. So this way, both people have a full representation in the Beis Din, and then there's a shalosh that will obviously be machriya between the two of them. Now, this idea that Rashi said about the Anba Atzmon, it gives, makes opens up a can of worms. Because that's basically telling me, what if you have a person that's a dying in the Beis Din, and he's going to be subjective in some way, he'll be able to, if you know, to convince the Beis Din of a misrepresentation maybe of the halacha that's based on a subjective view of one of the litigants. Is that better, really? So this is the rush on the spot, which is very worthwhile to learn through. The Rosh says that this Meshiyesh Chaseri Das Toim B'Dei Rashi is a big mistake that you can make from learning the Rashi. And they think that the Dayan is supposed to be Mahapech V'Schus, the person that he's chosen. And that comes that the minig that people were knowing to choose a Beirah Baal Tachbulis, V'Nitl B'Dei Rashi, they would choose a Beirah that's a very sophisticated person who knows how to handle and to win cases. He says that's not the Pshat and Rashi. The Pshat and Rashi is only is that the person thinks that that's what's happening, so he accepts the din. But the dayan atzmei chalilo lelimtzei svaro l'schusay. He's not allowed to look for a reason that's for one litigant over the other one. Imlish yir din gomer, unless he feels that this is the absolute halacha. But if he could trick and he could push for his way, it is not such a halacha. The halacha is only that the dayan has to understand that he's a dayan also, and he does say it in this something that if there is a tzad schus, a real schus in halacha, he'll find it. But if it's not a real schus, that he really feels the halacha, that's the halacha. He's not allowed to push his agenda because he was chosen and he wants to win the case. Now, there's another idea that the Rosh also throws in there, that if you take a dying Jaina Hogun to sit by a dying Hogun, that also that's something that you can't do. And when there's a Kehila, they would be able to get involved to avoid such a thing. But that's definitely a halacha that you can't choose anybody. You have to choose somebody who's a dying Hogun. Now, this halacha is... is gepaskind in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah brings also that mitoch shezeber leechad bezeber leechad abal yidinim tzaisilem vegam adayon kol echad mahapeh beschus oiz shabir oisek bechol ma she'efshe mitzad adin. Again, that's limited to whatever mitzad adin is allowed. Now, the Pesachei Tshuva already brings it from the Panim Yirois. The Panim Yirois is very upset that he saw there's a change in how zeber works. And this change is effective arayim azeh. We know, and we'll learn more about it later, that there's a problem of a dayan to listen to one side without hearing both sides. And obviously, that's a deraisa of the problem. Shemayim ben achayichem, yidvar shaykatirchuk. There's an issue of lisis Hashem. It's a real problem for a dayan who's trying to get to the emes to hear one side. He's becoming subjective. So hearing one side, getting paid by one side, is that the Mishnah? This is the highest level of a Beis Din that you would choose, that where one of the Dayanim of the Beis Din is a person that's hearing the story from one side. Lemaisa, so the Pesach Tshuva brings the Panim Yirois that's very upset about it, that he screams about it, that's not the way it should be, and it should be that the Dayanim, even Beirin, are people are getting paid from the Kehila, and they shouldn't be here talking to one side. So that's already an issue of the Panim Yirois. Now, Lemaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan does say that the minig is like this. The minig is, the minig of Zebair is Shekol Echad Matziah, Tainis Shaloi Lufnei Abayr Shaloi, and the idea is what, how does such a minhag work? Each one is giving his tainus only to talking to their side, and not in the presence of the other side. How would that work? So he says that because that's the minhag people understand when they get into a beirus, that's what they can expect. So that would already be considered that the makabel on themselves. So now we changed already a little bit what we're talking about. We're talking about zebur, the way it works, but each side is talking to their own side. It works. It's not a problem, because that's the minhag. It's kilu kibalim. Now now the question becomes, okay, so it's okay to do that, because kilu kibalim, the same way you could go to one dayan and be makabel one dayan. So you could mekabel one dayan, and each dayan should also have, you know, a person there that's a little bit subjective to each side. And again, is that 100%? No, but it's not a totally unjust system, because each side will have representation, and each side will have a dayan who's going to listen to them, and obviously if he's going to hear from one side, he'll be a little bit subjective. So, but that's it's fair altogether, because Lamaisa, they accept it upon themselves, and they know that that's what's included in this type of dintar. But again, even if that's what's happening here, could somebody force somebody to go to this type of bairus that people are talking to one side or the other side without the other side present? Could they force somebody to come to the side? Does it get the same level in the hierarchy of Bezdin, that this is considered the best Bezdin? So the Shevet HaLevi writes a shuva about this, as a lot of other people wrote about this, that it's clear that even though it might be a minhag to do like this, you can't force somebody to adjudicate this case in front of such a bearers. Now, it's a shuva and the Ber Moshe, it's a chelik dalat kof memches, that's really worth looking through the whole shuva. He really goes on a very a powerful rampage against certain bairim that are professional bairim, that their business is to be a bairim, and again, they get paid for this, and they're like you talk about, you know, this ishtachbulos that they could be mashpi on a bezdin and try to win. So he brings a lot of horror stories and a lot of things, and besides for the fact that he's saying you can't force to go to such a bayrus, he really is chaylik on the Aruch HaShulchan. He says that how could a bezdin hear from one side without listening to the other side? How could that be a dayin? He says the Aruch HaShulchan is tamua. But again, the minhag is that like the Aruch HaShulchan, there is such a mitzvah. But again, it's something to think about, if that's the best way to adjudicate when you're talking about a dayan that's getting paid, is that and from one side, and he's very subjective to one side. If the person is the kind of person that's a bal tachbulos, and he's a person that's is that really the best way to adjudicate, or better to go to a bezdin that all the dayanim are neutral, and they're going to hear the case for the first time in front of both baladinim, and be able to pask in a way that's proper up in there. So lemaisa, now we go on to the question that we started with. What happens when it's one bezdin versus another bezdin? So the halacha is that even you have the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Simon Yudalad Siv Gimel, he says that even if two Talmidei Chacham in one city, even one is bigger than the other one, I could say I want to go even to the smaller one, and this is based on a Shitas Asmag, that even from the high one to the lower one, I could say I want to go in front of this one, not in front of that one. This one is, to me, this is considered so the Gemara says really the Varda is Mika Tarachal. There's another sheet in the Rishayim, the sheet of the Torah, that he says that Fakert, that you could be kaifet to go to the, because it's in the same city, you could be kaifet to go to the Bezdin of Rav Huna, the bigger Bezdin. But the sheet of the smag is even the smaller bezin, as long as it's a bezin in the same city, you have also a kosher bezin, because they're in the same city, I could say that that's really the lashon of the smag. If you look at it, it says because they're in the same city, I could say I want to go in front of this bezin, not in front of that bezin. Now, the halacha here is that normally speaking, we said halacha is kaifa noise evidam b'yirei. The halacha is that if a malva wants to take somebody to bezin, a loiva to bezin, and he says I don't want to go to this bezin, I want to go to a better bezin somewhere else. So the halacha is he cannot pull the bezin outside of the city and say, I want to go to a different bezdin, I want to go to a better bezdin outside of the city. Now, the Ramah brings that, anyways, generally, Bizman Azeh, there is no such thing as Beis Havar. I mean, there is Beis Havar, this Beis Havar, but in the Allah of the Gemara that says that the Malva can force to go to Beis Havar or to the better bezdin, or the Malvik, or the Bezdin Agor Lechassida, that doesn't exist. So really, you always go to the person that's saying, I want to. Anyway, there's even a Malva cannot pull to go Dafka outside of the city to a better Bezdin. And either way, the Halacha is always Kefinoyse Vedom Beirei in this city. Now, what happens if it's in two different cities? So the halacha is, the Ramah brings a Ramah. The Ramah says, "Hatevei atzorach lelech achar anetva, imu b'ir acheres." Now, really, this halacha, it doesn't really, according to what the Ramah already said, it doesn't really need an explanation, because always the halacha is when we have a question, whose bezdin should we go to? The halacha is always going to end up being that we go to the bezdin of the nitva. Because if there is practically no Beis Havar or no Beis Nagodol, so then the halacha is always going to follow that the nitva is going to say, come to my bezdin. And maybe better than that, we could do a zebur. If you find maybe a kosher zebur, that would even be better than that. But the nitva is going to have the upper hand anyways. So it's an interesting ha'orah to understand. What does the Ramah really need this halacha for? After the fact that it's always, anyways, like that, that the Nitzvah, but the Ramah brings this Marik that says that the Tevea has to go after the Nitva if he's in a different city, and even if it's a better bezdin in the city, even if it's a better bezdin in the city of the Tevea. Now, the idea is that really the Bir Agros says on the spot, the idea is, and the Kohev Likiba Azal Yasya, you're trying to force him to something, so if everything is even, the nitva will have the upper hand. Now, there are different reasons that are given that even in the case where a tevea would have a right, there would still be a halacha of going after the nitva. It means even if we would establish that there is a better bezdin, still, even though you could establish that your bezdin is better, but still mitzara takana that it shouldn't be fights between different people whose keila is better than the other keila. There's a svara to say that in the same that the nitva should say that we should say that the tevei should not have a right to pull from one bezdin to another bezdin. Now, with that being said, if you go back that there is a makar and a reason why sometimes there should be a reason of a tevea having a right to pull to a specific bezdin. Let's say back to the case with the Mexico, or even the idea is like this: if somebody did a business in this city, and then he decides to move. I moved somewhere else after I did the business in the city. So this is a whole truth of the Marashdam. The Marashdam says that no, you have to go to Dan in the Mokum where the business happened. There's no right to take money from somebody and go to a different place. So there are a lot of exclusions to this rule. The exclusions could be in a case where the Mokum of the of the dentire, the makam that the business happened is here, so then you would have to look down over here. If the place of, if you did damage over here, then the damage, you can't say, I got to go come here, be damaged somebody here, and run off to a different city. You would be mechuyev to dan in the place where the damage happened, or in the place where the business happened. There's another idea which is very basic to the halacha, which is if there are assets over here. If somebody has assets over here, so it could be, even without that, there's an idea that, and this really depends on a whole another sugya, which is really too much to go through the whole sugya right now, but there is an idea where sometimes Beis Din has a right to do an ikul. And an ikul means basically an injunction on certain assets. If there are assets in this city that Beis Din would see fit, we have a problem, the person does not want to come to Beis Din, so there is such a taxis of Beis Din that they could say that these assets in this city should be held for the purpose of this entire. So we're kind of an injunction, and the idea of that injunction really is not something that Beis Din should be giving lightly. It's something that Beis Din has to make sure that there's not it's not just the Teveya is asking for something to be mafsid somebody else and get an upper hand. It's something that a Beis Din really has to sit on when it's the proper thing and when is it to put an equal. But the idea of an equal is that if somebody is doing something that could negatively affect the Din Torah, he's selling off assets. And there's something that seems like there's a Din Torah, and the Din Torah is going to be altered greatly if those assets are sold. So Beis Din will say, don't sell those assets. So when Beis Din gets that right to say, the assets that are here should be held, and nobody should go buy those assets until the Din Torah, so that could change around the Teveya to turn into a Nitva, because the Teveya will say, if Beis Din gave a right to hold up, I mean, ma'akel, these assets in this place, so then the nitva would have to come running back to this place to remove the ikul. So that could be a case where the Beis Din in the place of the Teveya would be the proper place to be adjudicated.